Well, let's do a little bit review. The Jews are in Jerusalem, and they get ran off, they get taken over, they get captured, they're in bondage. This is about 465 before Christ, and they're in bondage for about 150 years, and as the Babylonians are in control, they start to ease control because different leadership comes in. So there starts to be a migration of Israelites back into the homeland, or in back into Jerusalem. And so, which was awesome. So Nehemiah, he sees this, and what is happening is as they go back, they start to reestablish commerce. They start to reestablish homes, and they start to reestablish even the worship, and even the animal sacrifice, and even the temple. So that started to be reestablished. And Nehemiah sees this. He's still a slave in a foreign country. His brother comes to him and tells him all that's going on. And he, I'll tell you the, you know, the end of the story. He comes back, and in a short period of time, he takes a leadership role. No king assigns him to do this, but he understands his responsibility, and he sees a need, and he starts to fill that need. And in a short period of time, he recruits thousands of people, and they rebuild the wall, which the issue at that point is, even though they had commerce, they were starting to reestablish them, they were totally susceptible to be overrun, because at that point in time, it would be like going to the mall and leaving your keys in the car and the door and the windows down with a bunch of presents there at Christmas time. How many know that you're vulnerable to somebody overrunning your car? Well, with no walls around, they were vulnerable. Nehemiah sees that. And even though he has a awesome job, a kickback job, a job that he could have stayed there and been blessed for the rest of your life, he is a cupbearer for the king. He's got a cush job. He is a slave, but he's living a life of royalty because he's in the palace. Hello. How many know you come over to my house and you can be a dog, but you're going to live good? Why? Because you're just part of, you know what? In our house, the dogs are part of the family. Hello? In our house, you know what? The dogs get Christmas presents. Hello? Yeah, they do. So, anyway, that's just another sermon. But my point is that he could just be fine to stay. Which, of course, you remember 2 weeks ago. Our first point was 2 weeks ago that you must be willing to be more than you are. Mm-hmm. You must be willing to be more than you are. And please understand this. Please understand this. Let me talk about this church and what we're called to do. We are called. Please understand the dynamics of how the church works. This building is not the church. You are the church. So the church is dynamic. The church is effective as you are willing. Everybody say willing.
Willing.
As you are willing to... you have a job. Yes, you're a plumber. Yes, you're a secretary. Yes, you are, you know what, a teacher. Yes, you are whatever you do. But you've got to have understand that what God wants is you to step outside, because you can just do what many people who go to church, what they do. They just come to church and they don't serve, they don't give. They're just like they church becomes a bless me club. Pastor, come, I want to be blessed. Give me something. Isn't that what church is for? All lies up here. No. That's not what church is for. Now, that's one component of church. But we said, church, you guys are sponges. And if all you're doing is receiving, that's trust me. At some point in time, you're going to come in here and you say, man, Pastor Drew used to be all on fire. But now, man, I just don't get nothing out of his teaching. And I haven't changed a bit. What happened? The sponge got full. The sponge is not designed to be full. The sponge is designed to get full and then empty itself, that it can fill up again. Is this making sense? Okay. So you have to be willing to step outside of yourself. And what does that mean? That means that, you know what, you've got to, like, one of the things that I'm going to impress on you today, one of the things that I'm asking you to do, you know, who are you asking to do this? If you're sitting here, I'm asking you to do it. What I would love for you to do is to give me 2 hours this Saturday and come and hold a sign and invite people that we could pray. We have people on Saturday from 10 to 12 o'clock, and people are driving all over Pico Rivera, and I know they're hurting people. And I know these hurting people won't necessarily come to church. But many of them are going to be led by the Spirit. And if we say, and what do the signs say? The signs say, we'll pray for your family. We'll pray for your job. We'll pray for your marriage. We'll pray for you. And you know what? Pastor, what do you want me to do? I just want you to get outside of yourself, of what you're used to doing, and step outside into a place where you can start living a higher life. That your life now isn't just about, you know what, well, I go to work and I go home, get the laundry done, then I go ahead and take care of the dog, and then I get my, you know what, and then I, you know, get my dry cleaning, and then I go home and I watch I Love Lucy for 3 hours, you know what, that I saw over and over and over again, and then I do it again tomorrow morning. So, number one, Nehemiah was willing to stop his cush job and become vulnerable in a place, and he hadn't even ever been in Jerusalem before, but that was his. He knew he was called to do something greater than himself. So number one, you've got to be willing. If you want to be a strong leader, you've got to be willing to become more than you are right now. And that will come with challenging your flesh. Your flesh that just says you deserve to lay on the couch. And hey, rest is an important thing. Rest is an important thing. But sometimes we can overdo the rest part. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Okay. Number two, you must be willing to have a broken heart. And we saw last week that Nehemiah, when he found out that the city didn't have walls, see, he saw a need. And he was willing to have a broken heart for those people. He thought, oh my goodness, wouldn't that be awful if some other country, other city came in and just took advantage of the Israelites? Because nobody took leadership to build those walls. So you've got to be willing to have a broken heart. You know what? And that, you know what? That is important. We live in a life that, you know, the Bible says that in days men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. So we have kind of created these walls around us that say, hey, you know, it's like these defensive walls that we've created around us where we're like, no, you know what? I can't be tenderhearted for that. And just, you know what? We're just loving ourselves. We're so concerned about ourselves. And what we need to do is Christianity, followers of Christ need to step outside of that and be tender. You know what? What does God say when he says, you know what? What's the greatest commandment? And he right away says, well, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, they didn't even ask him what the two commandments are. They just asked him one. Why is he giving him two? Here's why. Because his desire is that none perish. See, think about it for a minute. How is it that when his son is asking, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me? That's what he's asking. Now, first of all, there is no other way. Because every other human being was born of corruptible seed, right? That's why there was no other way. Because Jesus was born, you know, his mother was a virgin. He had no human bloodline. And so he was the only way. But you know, God could have said, hey, son, we're just going to abort this mission. Because I'm just not willing to see you go through that on the cross. How many know God could have done that? Had he have done that, that would have left us high and dry. Why? Because now, who's the lamb? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You know what? I mean, we need a lamb. Jesus was the lamb. So all I'm saying is, watch this. It's the heart of God that says, it's God's will that none perish. That's God's will. We really need to be tender-hearted. That's why we do a prayer ministry on Saturday. And it's also evangelistic. How many know if they come through for prayer, we are telling them, hey, we care about people. We care about you. And we have cards there that if they ask, we're going to give it to them. Why don't you just pass out the cards? Because I feel like it's really important that we not come off manipulative. We were just trying to get you in here to, no. They don't need, and I teach this to the prayer warriors. I tell them, trust me. They will figure it out. If they're open to being at our service, they're going to figure it out. I mean, it's not like we don't have it plastered all over, you know what, Sunday service 9 and 11, you know what I mean? But I want to make sure that they feel like our real purpose is not a manipulative thing. We just want to pray with you. Does this make sense? But I'm just saying, Pastor, are you trying to get, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get us to come Saturday? Yes, fully, I'm fully busted. I'm fully busted. But I say that because that's our heart should be for the lost. And I don't believe that this is a good plan. And I don't say this just to throw out, oh, God told me. But I believe that God told me that we need to have a prayer ministry on Saturday. That we need to just kindly invite people, that we would pray for people. And we are praying for people, you know what, every Saturday now. There's cars coming in, and we pray for people. But I tell you what, I believe we would have a greater influence if more people showed up. Amen? Amen? Well, yes, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I hope Peter shows up. No. You missed it. If you're Peter, this is for Peter. But if you're Jim, this is for Jim. Are we together? So, and I know, I got plans on Saturday. Okay, well, That's where leadership comes in, where you're readjusting plans, when you're saying, this is where my point, where you get a broken heart for people that are hurting. That's leadership. And if you're just like, nah, you know what? Well, I don't know what that is. But I believe a thriving church that is really healthy needs to be very sensitive to our community. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Do you believe that? All right, I believe that. Number three, and this is where we will go today. Number three, you must be willing to be the catalyst. You must be willing to be the catalyst. What's a catalyst? Catalyst is someone who will do something. Catalyst is someone who will do something. Remember when James says, it's not enough for you just to say, be blessed. Have something to eat. Be blessed. This person, they don't have a coat. They haven't had a meal, in 4 days. And you say, oh, yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord, be blessed. Hold my hand for a minute. Yes, hallelujah, be blessed, my son. And what? Ooh. Peter says, what is that about? No. Here's what I'm saying. See, you are the catalyst. And Nehemiah recognized, who's going to build it if I don't? Does this make sense? See, he's saying, I'm going to do it. And it's easy for any of us to look around and say, it's like the old commercial, Oh, I ain't going to eat it. This cereal don't taste good. Get Mikey to, let Mikey try it. Some of you too young to remember this commercial, but get Mikey to do it, And God is saying to us today, hey, stop looking at someone else to love our community. You love our community. Stop looking for somebody else to hold the sign. You hold the sign. Stop looking for someone else to do. I just came to get fed, Pastor. Well, this is a challenging series of messages. But listen, this is part of the Christian life. And God help the churches as we are just kind of creating a wrong mindset. Paul says, how is it that when you come and you're not prepared to give everything, to give anything? He got like scratching his head saying, man, I don't understand a church like that. Because what I understand a church is people who have received, abundantly from God. How many have received, so much, not a little, so much from God? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. And what Paul said, I don't understand a church where people have received. I mean, are you kidding me? We have heaven as our destiny. And not only do we have heaven as our destiny, but we have the Holy Spirit until we get to heaven. I mean, you talk about a blessed. We are so blessed. And Paul scratches his head and says, I don't understand a church that people aren't coming in with an attitude of, God, what can I do? But our culture, and some of it directly, some of it less direct, some of it just in, so a church, they start to grow. I remember a time when we only had one service on Sunday. And that was good. But praise God, now we have two services. But I know churches who have three services. I know churches who have four services on Sunday and two services on Saturday. So let's say that you see that and you say, oh, they got They got 9, they got 11, they got 1, they got 5 on Sunday, and they got 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Saturday. And you start to get a perception of, oh, see, this is about whatever fits into my schedule. Now, I guarantee a pastor, I believe most of those pastors of the church, that's not what they're doing. They just have filled the church up. At some point in time, you get so full that people won't keep on coming. They say it used to be about 80%. At 80% full, you need to start planning another service. Now they're saying at about, because you know how many, you know, people all want their space now. You mean? Don't get, and what they are, research is showing is now they want more space than they used to want. So they're saying now at 70% full, you better start planning a new service. So I don't believe these pastors, I believe, praise God, they're just see growth. And so they recognize, oh, we better plan another. But in people's minds, and how many know in this church is true? You know what? When you come in, how many feel like, in our church, you feel like people say hi to you. People will check your kids in. You know what? We want to make sure you get something good to eat. We want to make sure you sit under the lights tonight. How many feel very served when you come to this church? Okay. Praise God for it. But see, that kind of mentality can turn into a mentality where we're like, oh, you know what I mean? And God is saying, no. You need to be the one who is the catalyst to do something. You know what? To get up and make a difference. In the scripture, Nehemiah verse 1, chapter 6, look what he says. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 says this: "Please do not let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you might hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servant, and confess the sin of the children of Israel that we have sinned against you, both my father's house," you know what, "and I have sinned." Now look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. "O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servant who desires to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." Here's what he's saying: God, I'm taking responsibility to do this. I am going to make sure, I'm praying that you would hear my prayers and that I would be blessed, because I'm getting out of my comfortable situation and I'm going to be a leader here. You have got to become, if you want to be a leader, you want to be a stronger leader, you've got to understand you are the catalyst for something changing. And it's so easy, even in our marriages, it's so easy for us to say, you know what, I can't wait till as soon as my wife changes, it'll get better. As soon as my husband changes, it'll be better. As soon as my kids change, it'll be better. And we keep on saying, oh, and God is saying to us today, no, you change. You be the catalyst. You be the leader. You know what? Yeah, well, you know what? No. You do it. No, because that's the youth do that. That's the interns do that. That's not what God is saying. God is saying, no, we need to do it. We need to get involved. We need to see this importance. Galatians, we have it up here on the screen. Galatians chapter 6. Look at this. Galatians chapter 6. And this is, one of the scriptures you'll be familiar with, Galatians chapter 6. Go to verse 4, guys in the back. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. "But let," what? "Each one." You know what each one means? Say, each one means me. Okay. "Let each one examine his own work." What are you doing? Are you part of the solution? "Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in the other." You know what? So here's what Paul's saying. Guys, you can rejoice in yourself. So nobody, you know what? You live in a home and it's just kind of, you know what? you have Eeyores in the home. I know nobody knows what I'm talking about, but you have some Eeyores in the home and you're like, and you're an Eeyore. You know what I mean? Like, you don't like the Eeyore, you know, you're complaining about the Eeyores. I wish everybody knew. You know, well, you're acting like the Eeyore. Do you understand? So he's saying, no, here's what you need to do. Just you start singing. You start making melody in your heart. You start rejoicing. And now you're rejoicing, but you don't even got to worry about anybody else. You know what I mean? You know what? Party of one. You know what I mean? Amen. You know what? I love my jokes. No, this is the truth. This is the truth. You know what? I'm not deterred by you not laughing. You know what I mean? I party of one. I think I'm funny. I enjoy myself. I find what I say to be very humorous. And you know what? And I really, you know what? If you don't think I'm humorous, you know what? Tough. You just missed the party. Amen. Amen. And really, isn't that a good philosophy to have? I don't get mad at you that you don't. I don't get mad at you that you don't think I'm funny. I do. I just, this sounds so harsh. I just don't care. Amen. Why? Here's why. Because you know what? Watch it. Because of this. Let each one examine his own work. And when he has, when they have rejoiced in himself alone and not in another. I'm not sweating you because you're acting like an Eeyore. It doesn't. See, that's, you know what that is? That's leadership. You're not going to bring me down. And hopefully, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you up. Does this make sense? But watch this, because watch how this fits together. Watch this, next verse. For each shall bear his own load. Hey, imagine this. If everyone in this room, everyone in this room just acted like the leader that they were called to be. Man, you know what? You ever see these guys? You know what? We went to the bay and we got one of these boats. You know what I mean? So we're in this boat we're just staying in the bay and these boats go real slow. You know what I mean? You got to crank, but they're not going very slow. But we see these people and they're in one of those, I don't know what they call them, but they're long, skinny boats. You know what? And they're racing and they start rowing. You know what I mean? And man, it is amazing how fast these guys go. I mean, they are just booking. You know what? And then it was a trip because we see this one guy, they're like whatever it is, or five or six guys, and they're just going like that. And we see this one guy, and he's got a harmonica in one hand, and the other hand, he's got a bag of Doritos. And he's eating these Doritos and playing this harmonica, and we're tripping out looking like, what in the world? And these other guys, they're all sweating like this. Now, okay, how many know that didn't happen? I mean, no, that didn't happen. No, but if it did happen, you'd be tripping out too. You're like, what in the world are you doing? Okay, that's what the Bible says. What? For each one shall bear his own load. See, God wants each person. But Pastor, I'm not a leader. No. You are a leader. God says you're a leader, and I've got a job for you to do. So do me a favor. You do your job. Is this making sense? This is just the Bible. This is just what the Bible says. Amen. Okay, what's the next verse? It just gets better and better. Let him who is taught the word share in all things with him who teaches. Wow, that's a great scripture. Next verse. Do not be deceived. Oh, this is so good. God is not mocked, for whoever, for whatever a man shall, for whatever a man sows, he shall reap. Now, I always used to look at the scripture, and this, as I was sowing seeds that were not unto righteousness, bummed me out. Hello. But how many know this can be a great scripture? And here's how I want to teach it to you, and here's the reality. Don't be deceived. So you say, yeah, but Pastor, all I'm called to do is just do this little thing. So listen. Stop being deceived. Stop thinking you're not an awesome leader. Stop thinking that you aren't called to greatness. See, that's a deception. You cannot sow seeds of love, seeds of kindness, seeds of generosity. You cannot sow those seeds of graciousness, giving, caring. You cannot sow those seeds and not reap a harvest. Amen. So stop thinking, it just irritates me when anybody in the body of, I don't care what they're doing. I don't care whether you are, I'm just a park attendant. All I do is you just sit out there with the vest and do, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How many feel happy when somebody's out there waving them in, smiling, saying, hey, welcome? How many feel happy about that? So raise your hand real high. Raise your hand real high. Watch this. Do you see how much happiness? You're wearing a vest. And you're waving, but keep your hands up. Do you see how much happiness you've caused? Do you see how much joy? I just come in and I'm just, and usually they're not there when I get here, but every once in a while something will be going on. I'll need to pick Megan up or pick Tyler up or something, and I'll come in and they're out there. And when they come in, here's what I think. I think, man, we got a cool church. That's what I think. I think, yeah. Disneyland isn't the only one that has parking attendants. Amen? We are welcoming our people here to this place. We are welcoming you before you even step out of your car. That is cool. That is awesome. That is something, you know what, so somebody said, well, all I do is just, are you kidding me? See, stop thinking. You're deceived. You're thinking that what you're doing doesn't have great effect, and you're thinking there's not a big positive. No, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. He sees you out there. Amen. He sees you serving. He sees you caring. He sees what you're doing. And I love what Paul says. We just read this in the Bible, in our daily Bible reading. Paul says, you know what, when you give, I don't really care about me. Paul was, very non-focused on himself. Paul says, when you give, I don't really care about that it blesses me, but what I really appreciate is it goes onto your account. And the New King James uses that word account. So all I'm saying to you is, guys, you be the catalyst. Understand that whatever you're doing, it's making a big, there is no little job in the kingdom of God. There's no job that God says, no, that's so little, I won't even put, you know what I mean? I know none of you will confess to this, but you know what? But there's people, I know you don't know anybody like this, but there's people who will walk by a penny and go, I ain't picking it up, that's just a penny. Hello? Well, there's no such penny in the kingdom of God. There's no such serving in the kingdom of God that God says, nope, I'm not writing that down. That's too little. There's nothing too little. Amen. Does that make sense? And then my last point, and this is, let me turn to one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says this. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Did you read what it said? Because this scripture will just theologically blow your mind. Because here's what God's saying. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together. But here's the main point. To me, it's joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Every joint in every part. Here's what Paul is saying, that the church grows as the people in the church will start to do something. Well, that makes sense. Somebody's driving by and they got a choice. They can go to this church or they can go to that church and they can go to this church. But when they come by Hope, there's parking attendants with bright orange vests on with colored, flashlights. Amen. And you don't know, but how many know that could be the one catalyst that caused them to go, I tell you what, that church seemed like they got it going on. Now, how in the world do they know? They don't. They don't know. How do they know how good the preaching is here? Come on, somebody missed a good place to say amen. Right? And I am kind of being funny because you know what the truth is? They don't know. Could someone in an orange vest waving a flashlight with the orange stick at the end, could that person be helpful in that person? I say absolutely they could. Matter of fact, researchers say that most people have figured out whether they're going to come back to that church or whether they're not. Watch this. This will blow your mind. Within the first 5 to 10 minutes after they've come to the church. First 5 to 10 minutes. Are you kidding me? I haven't even preached yet. Right? Right? Well, I mean, it is what it is. What does that tell me? It tells me how important people are. And here's the reality. We have an awesome church. But we need to be the catalyst. So, you know what? The people outside, you know what, playing soccer tonight. The people outside serving up food tonight. The people outside greeting people. You know what? The worship team. All that is within the first 5 and 10 minutes. Wow, that's pretty important. Amen. Not saying if you have an end place that doesn't matter either. Amen. Because how many know a lot of times people will remember the last thing. So every part is important. But what I'm saying is that's what causes growth. Because then somebody who's doing their share, they think it's, well, all I'm doing is it. No, that's your share. And that share is an important share because then people come in. You know what? So, you know, like the worship team. How important is that? That I'm not up here with a, you know what, with a bass drum, you know what, and you know, you know what I mean, the cymbals, you know what I mean, and you know what, and a, you know, harmonica, and a, you know, banjo, and a, you know, I, you know, what is that? Oh, hey guys, I'm sorry, just, you know, like worship the Lord through this, you know what I mean? No, how many know we have a competency of people who are willing to come and practice that you can enter in praise and worship. And that's just part of how many know that's an important part. So what I'm saying is, and I could go on to every part, but what I'm saying is the Bible says that the church grows as each part does its share. Understand this, that I don't care. So let's say me and Fred are pushing a car. And you know what? Some old lady, you know what, she the car broke down and we're pushing the car to the gas station. And me and Fred are pushing it and we're going, you know what, some degree. How many know if you come on and start pushing, how many know we're going to go faster? Watch, follow this. How many know if a fourth person comes on, we're going to go faster than this? How many know, watch this, there's not one person, even if we had 100 people, if you had 100 people pushing that car, you know, how many know that lady's freaking out at this point? Right? She's like, oh, slow down. Okay. But if we had 100 people pushing that car, how many know if you were 101, that 101 would help us go faster. See, each part causes growth in the body. And unlike, watch this, unlike pushing a car, you are now the 101st person doing something, but your part might be a huge part as far as, man, that's just what we needed. We were barely doing this ministry, this part of this ministry, whatever that part is. We were barely doing it, but now that you are helped us, now we went from four to five, and it's way easier to do it with five people than four people. Does this make sense? Because we have all kinds of different, we probably have over 100 people in ministry now doing something. Well, man, you got a lot of people. Oh, guys, we need more people. We need people who are a catalyst. Is this making sense? And then finally, and I'll close with this. You must be willing, watch this, to build God's kingdom. Everybody say God's kingdom. See, you got to be willing to build God's kingdom. And there, and listen, and just to be honest with you, there's this pressure. There's this, you know what? There's this pressure of, yeah, I got to do this, I got to do that. But here's what the Bible says: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what? And sometimes we've got to get things out of whack. We get things out of proportion. You know what? We start thinking, you know what? No. My family's here. And you know what? And I gotta minister to them. You know, no. We gotta, this is let me tell you what. The best way to minister to your family is show them commitment to Christ. That's what they need. They need to see. Well, you know what? They need to see, oh my goodness. I told you this before. So my family comes in from wherever they come in. Oh, we're going to go to Disneyland. They got tickets to go to Disneyland. Praise the Lord. Go to Disneyland. Have fun. But if it's on Sunday, you know what? You know, here's the egos. Pop them down and, you know, see you later on. He would get distracted. We have learned... Okay, I might be stepping on some toes right now, okay? If I am, it doesn't mean I don't love you. This means I need to teach you the truth because you've been deceived. And you have things out of priority. And so we put all kinds of things in front of the kingdom of God, and then our life goes, you know, crazy. Everything's so messed up. I do. And I understand it firsthand because I do it. I get things out of priority sometimes. And I had to go back and I think, what are you thinking? See, first God. Put God first. Can I tell you what first doesn't mean? First doesn't mean that you put Him first and it's just lip service. You know what first means? This is deep. This is so deep. First means first. That's what it means. That's what God is looking for. You know, God, the Bible says God is a jealous God. You know what? And he's not into, oh, yes, praise God. I love my wife. You know what? If I told my wife before I married, hey, I just want to tell you how this rolls, because I'm like pretty loyal. I just want you to know, you know what? Once a week, you know what? The whole year, every week is yours. But once a week, I'm still open on the market. What are you looking at? I said once a week. Just once a week. You're looking at me like, that's crazy. God says the same thing. You know what? He doesn't want second. He wants first. You know what? That's what He wants. And so many times what we do is we put all kinds of things, you know what? Oh, we're going to do this. You know what? We're going to put our job, our career, we're going to put our family, we're going to put, you know what, sports, we're going to put all this, you know what? And people talk to me about it all this time, all the time. They look me in the face, oh, I got this. Aren't you in church? I got this. And when they say, I got this, Listen, they're serious. They're serious. They got this. What I would say is I would say rearrange your priorities. You know what? Rearrange your priorities. Make it where, you know what, God is first in a practical way. Let me tell you what. All I'm saying is you can't build your house on the sand because the storm's going to come. Jesus never said, for some people, the storm never comes. He never said that. He said, the storm's going to come. And when the storm comes, if you built your house on the rock, then you're going to sustain that. So what's the rock? The rock is Christ. The rock is Jesus Christ. So you have this stability, and you say, this is what I'm about, and everyone else has to get in line. But see, we've been taught, no, God's a God of love. God's a God of love. He understands. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. And what we mean by that is, God, you take second place. You take fourth place. You take eighth place. And just get in line. Because I don't want to put you first. I want to put everything else and just like it. You know what happened when they started doing that with the animals that were coming up? They wouldn't give God the best. They would give God the sheep who, you know what, kind of had a, you know what I mean? Like, well, God won't notice, you know what I mean? We'll just give him that one because that one, you know what I mean? Watch this. Listen to me very carefully because I'm going to say something. I don't want you to miss it. You know the Bible says is the root of all evil? The love of money. And we just go, oh, that don't apply to me. I don't love money. Whoa. I know we can talk a good talk, but what I'm saying is, why were they doing that? Here's why they were doing that. Because if they sacrifice that animal, how many know that animal isn't going to fetch as much on the market as the good-looking animal that can walk right and is not diseased, right? So we think we're going to fake God out and give him, you know what, the second and the third and the fourth, and we do the exact same thing, and God says, yuck. No. I want your best. That's what I want. My last point, you want to be a strong leader? You must be willing to build his kingdom. That's what was supposed to say, his. You must be willing to build his kingdom. Yeah, but what about mine? Whoa. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, that's not the end of it. And all these things shall be added unto you. I'll close with this. There was a time in our life, and we had a home-based business. It was successful. We thought that it was going to really propel us financially. And the truth is God brought that home-based business into our life to teach me how to be an entrepreneur. Because I needed to be a good pastor, I didn't understand entrepreneurship. My father was not real adventuresome financially. And I didn't understand entrepreneurship. I didn't understand how important that was going to be to be a good pastor, to be a visionary. And so God got us in this multi-level business, and I was around these very good leaders that taught me a lot of things that I never learned at Albertsons. Why did you never learn at Albertsons? Because at Albertsons, there was this false sense. They did all the advertising. They got the customers in. You know what? And I talked to people just thought that at Albertsons, there was just a check automatically coming. Let me tell you, business doesn't work that way. And so if you work for a business, you know what? Care about the customers. I mean, that's just a freebie. Care about the customers because it's the customers that are paying your check. Amen. Well, I was a good employee, but I still didn't understand that. So I was in this business, and we thought that to some extent that business was going to propel us to the future. And it really didn't have to do with finance. It really had to do with a mindset that the guy was trying to place in our heart. Does this make sense? But ultimately, when I came here, and I was still working at Albertsons, but when I was doing my multi-level business, my home-based business, I had to be thinking about customers all the time because it was my business. There was one problem. I couldn't think about customers and think about the sermon on Sunday or the sermon on Wednesday all at the same time. It was very hard to do both. And I knew very quickly that I was going to need to give, the Tamara and I were going to need to give up this business and all the potential growth and financial growth. So, Pastor, how come you gave it up? Here's why. Because the Holy Spirit said, you focus on my house and let me focus on your house. I've got a word for you today. Focus on his house and let God focus on your house. Because let me tell you what, if you focus on your house, you're the only one who's going to do it. And God will do a way better job at ministering in your house than you can do. Does this make sense? I am believing for strong leadership. I'm believing that more people will get involved in this church. I'm believing that people who think they're involved will be spoken to, and they're going to step it up and see a whole new level that they are called to go to. I'm not saying that you're not doing stuff, but I believe God is speaking to some people, and they're going like 30 miles an hour, and God's saying, I need you. That was last year. I need you to go 50 miles an hour now. I need you to go to a higher place than you're at right now. All right, I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. Did you learn something today? Okay. Amen.